are listening to Clear Mind Events Podcast. You are listening to Clear Mind Events Podcast.
Welcome to Clear Mind Events Podcast. I am Tara, and along with me is Andy and Eric. Say hello.
What up?
Hey, hey.
And it's episode 3. And the topic tonight is, I said, baby, it's 3 a.m. It must be insomnia. So insomnia is something that ties very strongly to anxiety and depression. Insomnia, if you're not aware, and of course, let me throw it out there. We're definitely not doctors. We're not psychologists, psychiatrists. This is just merely information that I have taken from like WebMD and Mayo Clinic, you know, those type of places. But anyway, it's just persistent problems of falling and staying asleep. And so most of those cases are related to poor sleep habits, depression, anxiety, as I mentioned before, lack of exercise, chronic illness, certain medications. So I know I certainly have had my moments with insomnia. And my main thing is that I get to worrying, which is also another thing that they mention as being a serious problem. The worriers are at risk for insomnia because, you know, they just keep themselves up thinking about family, bills, what to wear the next day, what am I doing next month? I mean, just whatever you can possibly come up with. So I know I have that problem. How about you guys? Do you have any insomnia issues?
I'm lucky to get a good night's sleep for me is anywhere between 4 and 5 hours.
Okay,
Yeah, I mean, that's even slightly with medicinal or alcohol influence, maybe 6 hours on a good night. But, oh, yeah, big time insomniac. I can't fall asleep. I'll lay there for 2-3 hours before I finally fall asleep. And staying asleep is hard.
So what do you think that attributes to? Because I know you're kind of a night owl, and they mention night owls, Eric, as being some people who tend to have insomnia because you maybe don't have like a regular wake up time is kind of, and I get that because when I used to work in bars, I went to bed whenever. I got off work at 2, and sometimes I was in bed by 4, 5, or, you know, I'd go right to, I mean, it's just kind of depending. So.
Well, I used to be able to sleep. You know, on my weekends, I could get 10, 12 hours of sleep. That wouldn't be a thing for me. But I kind of noticed it progressively got worse after my brother passed away back in 2012. And then I started getting to where I'm sleeping less, you know, worrying more. You know, my anxiety was going through the roof constantly. You know, and I just kind of, I got in that habit and I got in that cycle to where 4 or 5 hours, I'm good.
And do you ever feel like you're missing out as far as like, have you become so acclimated that, and I'm sorry about the loss of your brother, by the way, that's horrible. Thanks. To be so close. I lost a sibling, but I lost a parent. So I know that it really takes a toll on us. But how do you feel? Do you feel like you could benefit from more, or do you feel like you function pretty well with 4 or 5 hours of sleep?
Oh gosh. I've gotten accustomed to it, to only getting so little sleep. You know, had it only been, you know, a few months, you know, yeah, I could see I could benefit from more sleep. But now that it's been going on, July will be 9 years now. You know, and I've tried, you know, sleep aids. I've tried melatonin, and that just destroyed my stomach. You know, with all the other, you know, unfortunate, all the other issues I have, I can't really take medicine for it, so I just kind of got used to it and just stuck with it.
Right. What about you, Andy? Do you have any problems?
Most definitely. I can remember even like as a teenager. Sometimes I just could not get to sleep. And I would always get in trouble if I stayed up all night. Like, my mom would be super furious, and I didn't understand why. But so usually what I did was I would clean the house because I didn't want to get in trouble for being up all night. So I would at least clean the house to kind of soften the frustration. But I feel like we cursed ourselves, because I'm telling you, last night I was telling Eric, I feel like I woke up at least 6 times last night. I just kept waking up. I was like, are you kidding me? So today I'm absolutely exhausted. The falling asleep and the staying asleep. And it took me a really long time to figure out how to manage that. Tried Tylenol PM. Tried melatonin. It took a long time for me to figure out like what worked for me. But the anxiety and the worrying, as like on the weekends, I can sleep better. I find it more difficult to go to sleep, but then once I'm asleep, I feel like I sleep deeper. I'm more relaxed because there's no pressure to wake up in the morning. But if there's pressure to wake up in the morning, I feel like I don't sleep as easy. It's weird. But yeah, I totally identify with the worry keeping you up, the anxiety keeping you up, the issues with falling asleep, and the issues of staying asleep for various reasons. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, one thing that they say is a factor as well is, like, a lot of people think that this helps, but as it turns out, it's, like, proven that it doesn't. I personally need the TV on when I go to sleep, but I set a sleep timer just because I don't want that white noise all night long, you know? But, like, I'm doomed if I ever grab, like, my phone, that screen. And then also your brain starts working like immediately. You're like, let's look at Facebook. Let's look at my email. Why do you need to do those things at 3 o'clock in the morning? Oh, 3 a.m. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that's one of my problems personally, is that, you know, smartphones. And then there's also eating. Like, I used to have a problem eating later, and they say that those things don't exactly help. I did want to mention that I found something, and unfortunately, I can't pinpoint it right this second, but young kids tend to have insomnia because of the same reason that you said. I was the same way. I had an 8:30 bedtime, and I didn't want to go to bed at that time. There was, like, absolutely no way. So I'd sneak and watch TV and this and that because, you know, why do we want to go to bed early? We want to stay up with the, you know, with the adults and, like, see why we have to go to bed early. Now, I love to go to bed early, but then there's getting up too early. So, Eric, if you don't mind my asking, like, what are some certain things that you've tried as far as, I know you mentioned that you've tried melatonin. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried any of those apps or anything like that? They have those sleep apps.
I have. I haven't really found anything that's really worked. I also have hearing issues as well. You know, I've got, you know, tinnitus in both ears. My left ear, I have severe hearing loss and hearing damage. And my right ear is kind of slowly starting to go. So at night when I lay down, I mean, we've got a fan that's going in the bedroom 24/7. So that kind of takes and kind of calms that down. But it gets so bad at night that any other noise will basically just amplify that. So the apps and everything like that, I can't really use much because of that. The fan is just enough white noise to kind of take the edge off of this, you know. But I mean, I've tried melatonin, I've tried, you know, like the NyQuil Z's and all that stuff, and because of the issues and everything I have and basically in my entire digestive system, I can't really take, you know, I can't take pills. I can't take, you know, certain meds and stuff like that. Cause then I would be unfortunately up and in the bathroom all night long. So it's, you know, I've tried know, every now and then I might, you know, have me a, you know, a little snippet of bourbon just to kind of relax. You know, I get that warm feeling, you know, and that usually helps me fall asleep faster, but doesn't really do anything, you know, doesn't help me sleep longer unless I drink a lot more than just a single cup. And I don't like doing that.
Right. And then what ends up happening with that, at least in my experience, is that you still wake up in the middle of the night. You go to bed hammered and then you wake up. It's just not, it's not good sleep. It's like, I don't know how they put it exactly. It's like, it's pass out sleep, but actually that's too bad. I wish that there was something that like would work. You know, I've tried an app myself, and when they do the storytelling, I have a really hard time with that because I'm sitting there listening to the story. So that doesn't help. And then you have the meditation where you're totally trying to concentrate on letting your whole body go. And you're like, wait, what was I supposed to do? You know, so I don't think that was, I envy those who can meditate. What about you,
Andy? I envy those that can fall asleep in 5 minutes.
I know, that's like a cat.
Disgusting.
Absolutely. Like, you look at your cat and you're like, dude, that's so unfair.
I don't know. My father is one of those people. He sits still for 5 minutes and he is out. And I'm like, if there is one habit or trait I wish I had inherited from him, it is that I was always the last person to fall asleep. So anytime like traveling, doing a sleepover, you're that last person to fall asleep, and it's frustrating, especially if the other person in the room snores. So,
yes.
So I hate those people.
Oh, I know. Those people, the ones who snore are like, yeah, they're the absolute worst because they're out and there's absolutely nothing that you could do. I've shared hotel rooms with friends, and I'm just like, how? Seriously, how do you not wake yourself up? You know, and they know who they are.
I took my best friend to Epicenter in 2019, and he is a horrible, horrible snorer. I mean, we're talking a chainsaw in the middle of a lumber mill is much quieter than him. And we had some other friends that happened to be staying right behind his tent, and they vowed from 10 minutes into the first time he fell asleep that they would never sleep on the same side of the campground as him ever again. But he's the type of person that he could lay down. He could be sitting there talking to you mid-sentence, and all of a sudden, and then he just picks right back up after 10 minutes, right back where he was.
Dude, that's narcolepsy.
That's what I was just about to say, which unfortunately I did not do any research on narcolepsy. I mean,
I think that's one of the things you can develop as a result of insomnia, I think.
Well, I have this deal here of like lots of, there are things that you can develop as a result of insomnia that you wouldn't even think. Like, it's called 10 Things to Hate About Sleep Loss, and it came from WebMD.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so one thing is sleepiness causes accidents, which is true. So, you know, of course, they're discussing as far as, which I know that that's actually kind of a touchy subject. So let's not go too much into it, but sleep deprivation is just a factor. Like you, it's like your neurons aren't firing anymore. So if you have to be reactive, it's just not quite, it's not as quick as you need it to be, you know?
Right.
It also dumbs you down. I really enjoyed that one. So sleep plays a critical role in thinking and learning. Lack of sleep hurts these cognitive processes in many ways. First, it impairs attention, alertness, concentration, reasoning, and problem solving. This makes it more difficult to learn efficiently. Totally makes sense. How many times have we been exhausted in a class? And everything is, you know, lost. Like, it's like you look like you're paying attention just for the teacher's, you know, sake. But, and then during the night, various sleep cycles play a role in consolidating memories in the mind. If you don't get enough sleep, you won't be able to remember what you learned and experienced during the day. So it has a, Yeah, it has an effect on retaining information. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I've ever, I mean, I guess at work that does make sense, because there's a lot of times that there's something I should definitely be paying attention to and I'm exhausted. And again, I'm nodding. I'm even grabbing my pen and writing down separate words, you know, oh, uh-huh. And it's like, yeah. So luckily I've never.
You knocking, but you can't come in.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not even going to let him on my front patio. Just going to off my own little world.
Which I really used to enjoy. Like in church, I would totally just, like back in the 90s, I would play music in my head during the sermon. I'd be all exhausted from partying the night before with my friends. And I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to play Pretty Hate Machine in my head or something like that. You know, like you need to have a church. One thing I wanted to say that I found very interesting is that sleep, that lack of sleep kills your sex drive.
I believe it.
You have to have one first.
Yeah, probably. I'm trying to think, because I don't know. I mean, there are times where you're with somebody and you're not getting any sleep, but you're enjoying not getting any sleep. But what they say is that sleep deprived men and women report lower libidos and less interest in sex. Depleted energy, sleepiness, and increased tension may be largely to blame. For men with sleep apnea, which is a respiratory problem that interrupts sleep, there may be another factor in the sexual slump. A study published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism in 2002 suggests that many men with sleep apnea also have low testosterone levels. In the study, nearly half of the men who suffered from severe sleep apnea also secreted abnormally low levels of testosterone during the night. I don't really have any examples of that. Do you guys? I just thought it was really interesting. Because, again, they're banging all night. So, anyway, go ahead.
No, yeah. I do know from a workshop that I did. So, like, when you sleep, that is your body's time to, like, repair itself and kind of take care of any damage you did that day, process anything that you witnessed, the interactions, the conversations, everything, which is why when you're dreaming, sometimes you will dream about conversations or TV shows or things that happened that day or the day before. But if your body doesn't get that time to repair itself, it does impact your hormones, which is why people who struggle with sleep apnea or insomnia tend to be overweight, because it increases the cortisol, which is that stress hormone. And I actually found out that I have sleep apnea. It's a result of my tonsils being far too large. And apparently it's really dangerous to remove them once you like get to be older. So they don't want to do that. They refrain from it. And I will say, being hooked up, I call it the face hugger machine. that's what I call it. But I have to admit, the newer products out on the market are very nice. They're a lot quieter than what they used to be. And they're less invasive. You don't have to have the big mask on your face, because that was my thing. Even when I got there for the appointment, my anxiety was kicking in and I was freaking out. And, you know, the guy could tell. Like, I was so nervous. But I ended up getting one that just, it just goes over the nose and that's it. It doesn't go over the mouth. And it's really awesome. So it feels less invasive. It's not noisy. And they're far more accommodating than what they used to be. And the whole reason I figured that out is because I did a sleep study. And you can actually do those in home now, which I did not know. Because that was another thing I was tore out of pieces about when they wanted me to do a sleep study. I was like, crap, I don't want to go with these strangers and be hooked up to all this crap and have to be observed overnight. But now you can do the sleep study in home first. And if that is inconclusive, then they'll offer you the sleep study at a sleep lab. But I found out I have sleep apnea, and that's probably why I tend to wake up a lot at night. And using the machine has really helped me feel more well rested. Like, I could have a 5 or 6 hour night and feel better than having 8 or 9 hours of a time frame to sleep. It's been pretty, it's awesome. Last night, however, I did not wear my face hugger. So maybe that's part of the reason I kept waking up. But yeah.
Yeah, I should tell my mom about that. I'll certainly have her listen to this because she bought my stepdad last year for Christmas something for his snoring. Like, that was her gift to him. It was so embarrassing.
Aww.
He's opening up this present from Santa, and it's, like, some sort of contraption that's going to help him, like, quit snoring. So, and I know that snoring and apnea tend to go hand in hand. Like, I believe like when somebody kind of wakes themselves up and then they, like, kind of stop breathing for a second, like, that during a snore, that's apnea, right? Like.
Right. And speaking of which, I'm so glad that you said that. Because I don't really snore. So I never in my life thought I had sleep apnea. I wasn't one to, like, wake up coughing and gasping for air. And I didn't really snore a whole lot. So when I went and did the questionnaire and things, because what they do is they have you answer a questionnaire. And it's really cool because it helps to pull out symptoms or behaviors that are indicative of narcolepsy, insomnia, and sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, but I don't snore. I don't wake up gasping for air. Like, I don't do that. And he told me that, you know, those are common misconceptions. They're indicators, but they're common misconceptions. And actually, when he got the report back from my test, he said, on average, I would stop breathing about 15 times an hour. And that was the average. But see, I'm also a side sleeper. When I'm sleeping on my side, I tend to want to curl my head into my chest a little bit like this. And having those abnormal, like, as soon as it was embarrassing, as soon as he looked in my mouth and he saw those tonsils, he said, ah. He said, I guarantee you have sleep apnea. He said, we're going to send you home with a kit, an at-home test. He's like, that is your major culprit. He said, I guarantee that's what it is. He took one look at the tonsils and said, that's it right there. Because when you lay down and everything closes up, a lot of people end up having their adenoids removed because it causes so many problems when they're trying to sleep.
Wow, that's interesting because it really does all work like one big machine. I mean, you wouldn't think that your tonsils would have anything to do with the fact that you're having issues with sleeping.
Right?
Yeah. My thing, what's interesting? I sleep better on my couch than I do in my bed.
Hmm.
And a lot of that, I kind of think, because they mentioned another thing that came from my research is that as far as what you can do to try to help the situation is to keep a clean place for sleeping.
Oops, I'm screwed.
My room's a disaster, okay? Like, piles of clothes. I mean, the rest of my apartment's clean. But my room, oh, Lord, no. They say to just keep it nice and clean and then use it for only sleep and sex. So, like, don't actually spend any other time in your room except for those two activities.
You know, I've heard that, and I've actually heard, and this is something that I do. I'm telling guys, I've struggled with sleep so much. I've tried everything. The scent of your bedroom, because we have such a strong attachment to how things smell. We have like a scent memory. And so, they recommended that, the way your bedroom smells be different than the rest of your house. So I have a Bath and Body Works wallflower, and it's eucalyptus and spearmint, I think. Kind of spa-ish, and eucalyptus and mint are relaxing anyway. And that's the air freshener that I have in my bedroom, so that when I go in there and I smell that, I'm just like, oh, yes, it's bedtime, you know? But yeah, I've heard that.
So it like associates you with relaxation, that scent. If you were to smell it anywhere else, then you would feel relaxed. Yeah, and they
I said, isn't that neat? I thought that was cool.
I think that's really cool. I need to find something that works for me. Now, Eric, you're married, so does your wife have the same kind of problems as far as sleep issues, or does she just kind of go with it? Like, we're both single, so we don't know about the whole sharing of this sleep situation with another person.
She goes to bed at 9 o'clock on the night shift when she has to work the next day. Mm-hmm. She's asleep by 9:30. I mean, she unfortunately does have to get up several times throughout the night. Small bladder, so she's always constantly getting up to go pee. Mm-hmm. But she'll go back, she'll lay down, boom, she's out. You know, when she takes her naps during the day, 5 minutes later, she's asleep.
Wow.
I'm so damn jealous.
So jealous, yes. If I wake up and my bladder is like, oh, hey, since you're up, could you, like, go and empty me? And I will, like, debate and negotiate with my body, which is probably not healthy for my kidneys. But, like, I will have to, if I do get up, I have to kind of, like, use my hands and kind of, like, keep my eyes closed and feel my way to the bathroom. And I have this little bitty nightlight in there because I can't turn on that bathroom light. If I turn on that bathroom light, I'm awake. And I will be awake for at least an hour to 2 hours and cannot get back to sleep because that sleep rhythm has been interrupted. Mm-hmm. So if it happens around like 1 to 2:30-ish, that's not so bad. But if it's later than that, it's like, F it, I might as well just stay up. So I envy that, to be able to just get up, relieve your bladder, and then go back to bed and just pass out. That's phenomenal.
Oh, I know. That is phenomenal. I mean, I am off and on. Sometimes, like, okay, my thing is, I'll turn my I've stopped this, but I used to turn my TV back on, like, right away. And Friends is my thing. It's my jam as far as, like, something I can always fall asleep to.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it a million times. I don't ever need to pay attention to it. I mean, hell, I come home and I turn it on for my cat at lunch, and then I just leave it on for her.
That's adorable.
It's just one of those shows, man. And so I always figured, like, if I just start it, then I can just fall back asleep to it. But then it's that white noise and the screen being on, and so you just gotta learn to, you know, go back to the dark. And I don't turn on my bathroom light either, just my hall light, which is actually softer.
I've done that, yep, and cracked the door so just a little bit comes in so that, you know, I don't fall and bust my face or something. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but now I have never been able to just stay up. Mm-mm. Like, I'm that person who will, if I have an hour and a half left before I have to get up, I'm going to try. Trust me. And I will milk that very last minute till I have to get out of bed, snooze button about 3 or 4 times. I mean, I just can't, you know, that's just me personally. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't know about you, Eric, if you work for a radio station, right? So you probably have what's your schedule like as far as?
Well, the stuff I do for the radio station, that's actually, I do like sales and marketing for them. And that's pretty much just whenever. I don't have a set schedule or anything like that. And it's all like commission based. So it's just kind of whatever and whenever. Normally at my other job, I upfit emergency vehicles. So they'll bring me like a Dodge Charger, Dodge Durango, and my boss will hand me a box of electronics, and I install like the lights, sirens, the two-way radios. I mount the antennas on the top of them, push bumpers on the front end. I do all that stuff. That is, I go in at 9:30 to 5:30, but it's an hour away from me, so I have to wake up a lot earlier.
Right. So you're the same boat, trying to get that 10 to 6 a.m. 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. sleep that we do, but it never works for me. It's usually 11 or midnight.
I wish. If I'm in bed before midnight, my wife knows something is wrong with me. Like, I'm sick. Usually I'm finally going to bed 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow. And
my alarms start going off at 6.
So you exhaust yourself.
Pretty much. To where I know when I go in there and I lay down, I might be asleep within an hour.
And so, Andy, you seem to have somewhat of a handle on this, though, as far as, like, what you can do for yourself to get more sleep. I mean, it just appears that way because, like, we'll talk and then it's 8 o'clock for you. And you've mentioned this before. You got to, I mean, and I agree. You got to lay down like at 9 or 8 if you plan on getting to bed by 10 or 11. It's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And so, of course, my being in Idaho makes a little bit of a difference. It's 8 o'clock for you. It's 6 for me.
Well, we get excited. We get excited. We get pumped and we talk about stuff. And then, you know, like, they're just the that vibes and that energy that we have, like, I will ride that wave, and the next thing I know, it's freaking midnight, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like,
I know, I had to tell my
better.
Mom.
I knew better.
Sometimes you just have to ignore your phone. Just be like.
But it breaks my heart to do that to you, though.
I do it to my mom all the time, but sorry.
So you. we'll edit that out so mom doesn't know.
No, she already knows. I told her straight up, do not text me, but go ahead.
You sleep on your couch with the TV on, right?
Yeah, it'll turn off while I'm sleeping.
So, and I feel like you and I have had this conversation before, but actually, so like I fall asleep to the TV now too. So if I do wake up and I feel like I've laid there for about 10 minutes or so and I'm not falling back asleep, like I kind of like, I'll kind of do this like when I wink, I can wink with my left eye. I can't do it with my right eye, but if I'm like half asleep, I can totally keep this right eye closed and kind of use my left eye to kind of navigate the menu and turn my sleep timer back on. But what I was going to say is I will watch Bob's Burgers. And
I'm sure anybody would be able to fall asleep to that show.
I love that show. But
I know.
I can't watch it long enough to even think about falling asleep.
Really?
Yeah, same here, man. I can't feel it. Like, anyway, but that's a totally different subject. I've given it a try.
But, okay. So, if you have to fall asleep to noise, use a timer, and then use a show like you wouldn't want to watch CSI Miami or something like that, or Grey's Anatomy. You don't want something dramatic or heavy. But so Bob's Burgers, I will usually watch season 1. And like my favorite episode is episode 1 because it's very like dry humor in my opinion. So like usually by episode 3 at the most I'm asleep, which is awesome. But I will set a timer, and like you said, the light, the TV in my bedroom, I have the brightness down to like 50%. And the way that I sleep, because I'm a side sleeper, I turn away from the TV and I can just barely hear it. And then the sleep timer, the reason you want the sleep timer apparently is because, you know, you talked about how there's different levels of sleep. Well, you kind of go up into this wake sleep. And if there's enough noise or enough action going on, you will wake back up, which is why they say not to let your pets sleep in the bedroom with you, because if they're running around, they're going to wake you up. But the TV or the music can wake you back up depending on what the noise and the sound is when you come up out of that deep sleep or the REM sleep. But yeah, sorry. I remember having that conversation with the sleep specialist, and he's like, oh no, we don't want to watch the TV. And I'm like, well, hold up. Let me tell you what I do. It's like, hi, I'm Andy and I'm type A. Just in case you did not know. So, and he told me, he said, okay. He said, I approve. He said, that works. He said, I can't be mad at you for that. So I totally use the TV to fall asleep, but it's like a very controlled type A anxiety. Did I mention I'm controlling manner?
That's good to hear, because I've never done a sleep study. My mom's trying to get my stepdad to do one.
It sounds like you should, maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You of course, keep talking about the sleep study, and all I can think of is Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1 when Nancy's in the bed and she, like, is grabbing at Freddy. And anyway.
Nice.
She comes out with this hat. Have we never seen that movie? Come on, guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've seen every single one of them.
Okay,
he was my favorite.
Mine too.
Actually, melatonin. I went for Halloween once.
Nice. I want to see that. So melatonin.
Yeah. So I had tried melatonin and it totally did not work for me. Like I could take a 10 milligram and still like I just couldn't get to sleep and then stay asleep. There is, I think the brand is Nature's Bounty, but there's a melatonin gel capsule and it's 200 milligrams of theanine, which is a natural relaxant apparently and like a feel good. It's also in things like pre-workout and diet pills, but it's 200 milligrams of theanine, and then it's 5 milligrams of melatonin. And those two together are far better than just taking the melatonin. Because of my height and my weight, I take two of those gel capsules, but I still have to relax. Otherwise, my body will fight it, mm-hmm. and I'll still struggle to fall asleep. Eric, you were saying you tried melatonin, it didn't work for you. Maybe it wasn't the correct combo. And mine, it has to be those gel caps.
They do have those slow release melatonins now too. Yep. And then I used what really did work for me. And I don't know why I haven't bought it since. It's probably because I had mouth surgery and the ZZZ or the Z-Quil, you know, with the pain reliever. Like that's what's helped me lately. But they're called stress balls. And they're melatonin with lavender.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, like they totally help me stay asleep.
So I have a question. Do you guys find lavender relaxing?
Yes.
Really don't like the smell. Oh, I had a friend who put it everywhere. So, I mean, but when you're eating it, you're not smelling it, you know. So.
Well, not like lavender itself, but. When my children were born, we used like the lavender body wash and stuff like that. That smell right there is, you know, I could literally smell that for the rest of my life and I would be happy. Of course, it reminds me of my children being.
Yeah, it makes you think of your babies.
You know, tiny babies and God, now they're almost 14 and 12. That I do find extremely relaxing and just calming. Not quite enough to make me pass out and fall asleep and finally get a good night's sleep, but I do enjoy the smell of it.
Yeah, I'm like you, Tara. I'm not a big fan of the like fresh lavender, especially like the French lavender. I like the smell of the actual plant, but lavender in like a body wash or a bubble bath or a lotion or even in an air freshener, I'm not a fan of. I got this facial toner and it has lavender in it and I hate it. So I gave it to a friend because I don't know. I don't associate lavender with relaxing for some reason. I don't know what it is. Most people find lavender relaxing. That's why they put it in the kids' body wash and in their lotion. Cause you put them in the tub and you make them, you know, take a bath and then you put that on them and then they chill out, which you guys know. The reason that you would give the kids a bath before you would put them to bed. Do you guys know that reason?
Well, baths are relaxing. So
baths are relaxing, but also a hot bath or a hot shower raises your body temperature. So if you do that about an hour and a half before bed, it helps speed up that process of your body temperature needing to lower itself in order for you to fall asleep. So that's why your parents would have you take a bath or a shower before you went to bed, because it would help you fall asleep faster. Because if you overheat.
That makes sense. Because even as an adult, if I take a shower at night, which I prefer to take them in the morning because I feel cleaner. Obviously, you haven't been sleeping all night, that kind of thing. But it does make you feel like you're just ready to crawl into bed every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that makes sense with Eric, though, because memories and smell, I mean, come on, they go hand in hand. So if he's got a pleasant memory associated with that smell, like how I have not a pleasant memory, because I had a friend who everything was lavender, including her room spray and everything. So like you walked into her apartment and it was just overwhelming lavender. That right there.
Triggered.
That's not a pleasant memory for me.
Triggered.
But like Nag Champa, oh god, I've got wonderful memories of Nag Champa.
Huh.
You know, incense, relaxing, that kind of thing. Patchouli reminds me of hippies.
See, I'm not a fan of patchouli anymore because I dated someone who used a little bit of patchouli, and now I absolutely hate the smell because I hate his face. So now, like, patchouli and vanilla, I'm just like...
Yeah, I've just been around hippies that don't shower wearing patchouli. Patchouli is actually meant to increase other smells. That's why they use it in expensive perfumes and that kind of thing. So, like, if you have somebody who has BO and then you throw patchouli on top of it, what do you think that's going to do? Going to increase that smell. There you are. That's why patchouli is so rank at concerts.
Is anybody else like really sleepy where we're talking about insomnia and ways to get better sleep?
Yeah, and I know it's late for you guys, so we'll wrap her up. One thing I was going to do is just like throw down some prevention stuff real quick. And yes, again, I want to repeat, we are not doctors. We are not in that field in any way, shape, or form. We're just basically sharing our experiences, and we hope that maybe that can help you with your experiences. So as far as prevention's concerned, I've just got a quick little list. And okay, so number one is keep your bedtime and wake time consistent from day to day, including weekends. That one's almost impossible if you go out on the weekend. Yep. I mean, it just, you know, that's the one thing about the weekend is that you get to stay up late and sleep in, you know, but as you get older, it seems to change. I've noticed that I still wake up at 7 for some reason on a Saturday. Can't explain why, but it happens, you know. To stay active, we talked about that and how exercise and endorphins and, you know, it also helps with weight loss, obviously, to get better sleep. To check your medications to see if they may contribute to insomnia, which makes sense because medications have side effects. So it's very possible that there's something going on you're not aware of.
Yeah, there's actually, there are certain medications for depression, anxiety, and other mood disorders that they want you to take them in the morning because it can cause insomnia at night. And I remember when I was trying Zoloft, probably the first 2 weeks, it did not matter. I feel like I took it in the mornings, but I had quite a bit of trouble sleeping for about 2 weeks when I first got on the medicine, and apparently that was a side effect. So yeah, it's very important when you know, to pay attention to the recommended time of day for medications.
Absolutely. I'm actually taking fat burners, and I had to take it down to just one a day where I was supposed to take two. And, you know, not take one too late, but there's so much, it is relatively natural energy in these fat burners. They're, you know, there's not like phenamine or anything, but it still caused me to have a lot more energy at night, even though I took it 9 hours ago, you know? So you just have to be kind of conscious and maybe take a look and see, could that be affecting you, you know, as far as the times that you're taking it, like you said. And it's supposed to be, I mean, this has like jalapeno in it and, you know, green and black coffee and things that generally, and I hardly ever partake in caffeine. So
you're going to be extra sensitive to it. And
right.
Speaking of stimulants, as I've, you know, I just drank a 12 ounce Coke while we did this. That was
and that brings
smart.
Me to, sorry.
Oops. My bad.
Avoid or limit caffeine and alcohol, and don't use nicotine.
Don't worry, Andy. She's outnumbered. I'm drinking a Pepsi right now.
Well, okay, Eric. I might have an idea as to why you're having problems sleep. Although, you know what? I'm actually going to go back on that because people who drink caffeine and have for a really long time, it doesn't even affect them much anymore.
It doesn't.
Kind of
one of the things. That's why
they drink
more. Right. It doesn't. As I tell you, back in my military days, I used to be able to sit there and drink. Coffee was a no-go for me. Like, literally, I was like a crackhead that just won the lottery when I had a cup of coffee. I could literally do every job on a military base by myself at the exact same time. So I stay away from coffee. But I could literally drink an energy drink right before I went to bed, and I could still fall asleep.
Do you have ADHD?
You're talking attention deficit. Hey, donuts.
Okay. So, yeah.
No, I don't. I have been tested for that. Even when I was younger, it's not, Andy, you might chuckle out of this. It's not ADHD. They basically said that my brain is functioning so fast that my body just kind of really doesn't know how to react to it. They said that, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they basically said that I'm a genius in an idiot's body is basically what they said. It's not ADHD or ADD or any of that stuff. I have a very smart brain. I just don't know how to dumb it down to where I can function normally is basically what all the doctors said.
Well, apparently, if you don't get enough sleep, it dumbs you down. So,
well, my God, I should be totally stupid by now.
Sorry, you said dumbed down, and I really couldn't help it because of that wording. Okay, avoid or limit naps. That is, I agree with that because you want to be tired at night, you know. That's pretty simple. And the whole don't use nicotine thing. Nicotine is actually a stimulant. Like a lot of people don't know or realize that. But as Eric pulls out a cigarette.
As he puts a cigarette in his mouth and lights up.
I swear that was not planned at all.
Okay. So far I've got a checklist for you of things that you don't need to be doing right now. No, I'm just joking.
Half of it. This is your intervention, Eric.
Oh, yeah, we lied. This is not
started
a podcast.
Now it's an intervention.
There will be more joining us soon. They're going to talk to you about how you affected them.
Do you take this treatment?
Okay, so avoid large meals and beverages. We've talked about that. Make your bedroom comfortable. Andy sounds like she's totally got a handle on that. The smell thing's amazing. And create a relaxing bedtime ritual, such as taking a warm bath, reading, or listening to soft music. I agree with the reading thing. I'm bad about it, but I've found that when I do actually read a chapter before I go to bed, even though it stimulates the mind, for whatever reason, it relaxes me.
Yeah, I can't. I've tried doing that before, and I will get too invested in the book. And then next thing you know, it's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm halfway through it.
You know what helped me was The Secret, which is not really a storybook by any means. It's like excerpts, you know, from philosophers and whatnot. And it's also very uplifting. I think that a storybook, yes, I totally agree, especially if it's a good one. You just want to keep going and going. But if you find something kind of like The Secret or like even a self-help book, you'll just find that you don't want to keep reading on and on. There's a reason it's short in small sections, and I don't know.
Yeah, I've never gotten much into reading. I mean, I can't concentrate long enough on it to really stick with it.
I was going to say, you probably skip words when you're reading because you're impatient.
I skip pages.
Yep.
Like literally the front to the very back page.
Yeah, I'm not like that. I have to get it all. But again, I don't read enough books. I mean, the last book I finished was. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What about you, Andy? Do you still read?
I don't read at night anymore just because, depending on what happens, I will force myself to do like one more chapter. If I can set myself a limit, it's good. I have to limit myself with my phone. Otherwise, I'm playing a game or I'm on social media or I'm on that black hole called TikTok.
Good old tiki-talky.
Midnight. Yeah, good old tiki-talky.
I still have yet to check that out. I mean, she sends me stuff, but well, I guess that's it. as far as our insomnia chapter, unless anybody has any, or episode, sorry, does anybody have anything they want to add? I kind of feel like we've covered quite a lot of aspects, but any closing thoughts? Or we could do it. One of my favorite podcasts is called This Is Important, and it's the guys from Workaholics. And at the end of their podcast, after they've just basically kind of had like a lot of fun, just kind of talking shit for about an hour, they'll go, I just want to say I'm sorry for something. And then they'll like reflect on the podcast and apologize and give each other accolades. It's pretty awesome. So, I'm sorry for keeping you guys up till almost 10. I hope I don't get in trouble for mentioning that.
I'm sorry for sounding like I have a handle on sleep. I've just tried so many things in order to figure out, like, I'm a problem solver and I like to fix things. So that's why it comes off as, oh, well, here, let me just tell you every single useless thought about that subject. But, sleep and I did not get along. We're doing better. We've made peace. She is very demanding, and I'm trying to work through those demands to appease the sleep goddess.
Can you like make peace with her and send her my way so I can try and strike up a relationship?
True story, dude. I would say, like, you can't just try something once and be like, well, that didn't fucking work, so I'm not doing that again. There has to be a routine in order and for it to work. Can't just try it once and be like, well, nope, that didn't work, so I'm just not doing that again. Try it for a week, see how it goes. Like with the sleep apnea machine, they had me do it for a month before determining like yes or no. But I went from not breathing an average of 15 times an hour to once or twice, which was phenomenal. So I should probably make sure I wear the face hugger tonight before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Eric, do you have any apologies or accolades? I hope I don't get in trouble. Sorry, guys. You're awesome on that podcast, by the way. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, God. If my brain could function right now, I'm sure I could probably come up with something. I just brain farted.
Okay. Well, I guess
you're sorry for smoking while Tara was talking about getting rid of nicotine.
Yeah, and what the drinking, fuck, dude?
And drinking caffeine while she was talking about limiting caffeine.
Two things that I totally don't really do anymore. Smoking, 4 years. Okay, I quit smoking. No, 5 years. Wait.
That's awesome.
It was 4 years on January 4th, I want to say. Something like that. But I did smoke for 19 years, so I understand the love of nicotine, believe me, which we can talk about another time, but yeah.
I smoke these because murder is still illegal.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
And they don't have Netflix in prison.
Well, all right, you guys. Something I just kind of thought of, if we wanted to do like a part two on sleep at all, or just maybe throw in a 10-minute segment in the future, maybe since we all struggle with this a little bit, we could try something that because we've mentioned lots of different ways that we can remedy the problem. Maybe we all try something new and then kind of come back with how we thought it helped. Like with
very cool. Eric,
what do you think?
I'm good with that.
Okay, awesome. Well, I guess that's it then. From Clear Mind Events Podcast, we all say good night and sweet dreams.
Enjoy it.